emoji series, and it's been a good one. God has blessed us with a lot of good principles on fighting those emotional struggles we have, and one of which, you've heard the term happy pill. Have you ever wished there really was one? That you could just take it and it just all that sadness and all the worries and all those frustrations of life just go away and you just feel great and amazing. Wouldn't you love that? Or at least that there was a happy pill that didn't have any detrimental effects on us. Some have found some happy pills. Okay, don't steal my message, though. some of us would only need it every once in a while. Some of us might need them 3 times a day. A happy pill. And the Lord is going to show us how to get there, and He has been showing that as we've been walking through this series, and if you've missed any of them or want to review them, they're on the website with all of our previous messages as well. But what we've learned is, one, we need to eliminate toxins. There are certain things in our lives that generate those negative emotions. And then we learned how to posture ourselves and ready ourselves to be able to cope with those intrusions and be able to find solutions in the midst of them to overcome those negative intrusions. And then we learned how we need to have healthy, strong, intimate, vulnerable relationships with each other in order to get there. Then we learned how to fight the battle of the mind. How many of you are fighting the battle of the mind right now? Sometimes even in the midst of God's movement, there's a battle in the mind. And then we learned how to, main cause or root cause of fear and how to address that. Then we last week learned how to tackle anger. Aren't you so glad that's passed? As if it just ended with one message. But now, today, we're going to get happy. And when I think of that, I think of a little blooper clip from Toy Story 2. I think it's Toy Story 2. So, Bonnie, if you will.
I'm so glad you came. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye-bye. Remember, please discard all candy wrappers and popcorn containers in the nearest trash receptacle. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Are they all gone? Is everybody gone? Huh? Good. Oh my gosh, my cheeks are killing me. I can't keep smiling like this anymore. I am exhausted. I think I need a break. A little break? Okay.
Do you ever feel like that? You're trying to be happy, but it doesn't feel like you're actually happy on the inside. You don't feel warm and fuzzy. And I think there are probably some of us here today that we do put on a good show. On the outside, we look like we're happy, but on the inside, we're falling apart. And we desperately want to be that person that we put up front in front of everybody. And there's nothing wrong with necessarily not wearing all your problems and issues on your sleeve and dumping it on everybody you see. But we don't want to just pretend be happy. We want to feel happy on the inside. And deep down, all of you want to feel that way. You want to enjoy life. You want to have a sense of satisfaction and contentment in life. But how do we get there? How do we get to a place where we sense that? Now, first, we're going to have to deal with what I believe is a fallacy or a faulty way of thinking. Just like last week, we talked about the whole be angry but do not sin and how some think that's a license to be angry. We're going to talk about an idea that I'm not really sure where it came from, and that is that there is a difference between happiness and joy. You've probably heard preachers say that there's a difference between happiness and joy, and the logic behind it, as far as the explanation, is reasonable, that it shouldn't be dependent upon circumstances, but it's dependent upon the Lord, and that's correct. But the attack on the two terms, that happiness is not the same as joy, and I'm going to attempt to demonstrate that for you, and we'll see if you agree with me afterwards by the form of whether or not you throw stones at me when I'm done. Romans 14, verse 22 In that verse, and you'll receive an outline with the references here in a little bit or when you leave, but Romans 14, 22, there is a word there that is translated in the English for happy. And that same word is the word, the Greek word that's used in the Beatitudes for blessed. Blessed are those who, and all the different characteristics, that Jesus was saying that if you have good character, you will be this. You will be blessed. You will be happy, as some English translations put it. Then Galatians 5, where the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, the Greek word for joy there also can mean happy as far as what its definition is. And so most of the Greek words are used interchangeably when they're translated from Greek to English between joy and happiness. And then you do the same with the Old Testament in Hebrews, or in Hebrew. Jonah 4, verse 6 is the story where Jonah's rejoicing over the tree that God had given him. And it says that he was happy for the tree. The Hebrew word there for happy is used many times in the Psalms for rejoicing in the English language. And then in Psalm 51, verse 12, the Hebrew word for joy, also its definition means gladness. If you were to look up the definition of the Greek and Hebrew terms when they're translated to these words, they give you the definition of being joyful, glad, or happy, or cheerful. When you look up the English definition of happy and joy, they're, for the most part, synonymous with one another. You don't get linguistically that there's a difference between the two. So I'm not really sure where that came from, why we think there's a difference between the two, because linguistically there's not. I have a guess as to two reasons why we say there's a difference between the two. My first is to excuse ourselves. Well, it says to be joyful, but it doesn't say I have to be happy. And I think you've probably heard some people say it probably almost exactly like that. Because we know it says to rejoice in the Lord always, and we don't feel that way, and we don't feel that way always. And so we don't want to put that request on us because that seems unreasonable. So we mess with the English language and we say that one is not the other. God wants you to be joyful, happy, satisfied. In fact, the Word of God tells us to be content in all things. He wants us, and that means to be satisfied with where you are. He wants us to be happy. The other reason why I think people do it is because we misunderstand what God's asking of us. God is not asking us to be happy about injustice and sin and bad things that are happening to us. He's not asking us to be happy directly for those things. He's asking us to be happy despite those things. Whether or not they're there, to still be happy, joyful, cheerful, glad, rejoicing. God wants us to be in that posture. But how do we get there? How do we get to a place where I have a happy, joyful heart? Because many of us carry a lot of wounds and scars that have yet to be healed. And how can I find joy? Well, there's going to be two passages we're going to look at later, longer passages, one in 2 Corinthians 6, one in 1 Timothy 6. So if you want to follow along, you can. We're going to refer to a number of other places in the Bible that you'll have those on your handout when you leave. But how do we get to this place where I am joyful and almost like, have you met someone like Barbie, where they're just cheery and happy all the time and you're thinking, that can't be who they really are. But there are people, and I know that that's who they really are, because they have this joy inside them that doesn't change when the world changes around them. And what was their secret? How did they get there? We can get there. We can gain and keep joy by having or becoming a well-rounded person. Well-rounded in what way? First, a well-rounded relationship with Jesus. This is where it starts. In fact, the other two should take care of themselves when you have a well-rounded relationship with Jesus. But sometimes we just don't pay attention, or we need, ever feel like you just need some bolts tightened a little bit? Okay, some of us are there. First step, a well-rounded relationship with Jesus. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? If you are, if you're in a place of heartache and you're in a place of challenge or you're in a place that you're hurting, what should I do with that? James says, let him pray. Then turn to the Lord. If you are in that place of sadness, despair, or hurting, in whatever form, you turn to the Lord. And then Romans 15, 13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. God recognized where it came, or Paul recognized where it came from. He said, I want you to have joy, so I'm asking God to give it to you because that's the source of joy. Then Psalm 4, verse 7, the psalm writer says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. Joy, first we must understand, joy comes from God. There is no other source for true joy than God. You might find some pleasures elsewhere, but true joy only comes from God. And that, if we know that, that'll drive us to seek Him. Then, as we begin to approach Him, Psalm 94, verse 19 says, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. When the cares of the heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. When we begin to approach Him, we must stir up within our heart this comparison between the worries of my life and the benefits of Jesus Christ. And the psalm writer is saying, when I look at the two, I am happy when I look at those two. Because I look, and this is awful, I have this and I have that. And if you ever find yourself complaining, and I know that nobody here ever complains. When you find yourself complaining, other people find themselves complaining, then stop and think about all the things you're complaining about and compare to the majesty of the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ, just in the person of Jesus Christ, how delightful He is. And I wonder if you've actually tasted and seen how good the Lord is. When you delight in His presence and the goodness and the favor that He shows us and the mercy that He has demonstrated to us, and then you add on top of it the provisions that He gives us and then the future destiny that we have in heaven where we'll be no more suffering, no more heartache, no more pain, and everything will be perfect and pleasure and exhilaration and fullness for all eternity. That is ahead of us. And when we look at this stuff, I'm okay with this then. If I have that coming to me, who cares that this is here for a little while? In fact, Peter adds to that thought when he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 6, he says, He, being God, has caused us to be born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And I wonder what fits over there in that category of for a little while. Loss of a loved one for a little while. Chronic illness. I know some in here that have had surgery after surgery fitting in the category of a little while. There is a lot that can fit in that category of a little while. But he says, but when I compare that to the majesty of the glories that await me, I rejoice. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of heartache, I rejoice when I think about what is ahead of me, if that's what's on my mind. And so if I recognize joy comes from Him, I go to Him and I start to weigh what's there. And then I connect with Him by first, James 5:13, again, if I'm suffering, I pray. That is, I share my burdens with Him. In fact, it says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. Peter paraphrases that in 1 Peter 5, 7 when he says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. There is something magnificent that happens when you begin to exchange your issues to God. Something is transformed. That's why it says in the Old Testament that He will give beauty for ashes. That when we begin to not just suck it up and deal with it on my own strength, but when I decide to say, God, I need You. I can't handle this anymore. This is hard. I'm suffering. This is difficult. I hurt. And you start to cast your worries on Him. Something happens where all of a sudden, and I'm telling you, you read the Psalms and you will see the psalm writers writing in despair, and then all of a sudden just flips. And they're just rejoicing and delighting and saying about what kind of wonderful life that they have, and they're happy and they're content because God had met them. And that is where we find joy, at the place that we meet him when we connect with him through sharing our heartaches with him, connect with him through the Holy Spirit. There are phrases where it mentions in Romans 14:17 of the joy that is in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says the joy of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, again, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. If we are engaging with the Holy Spirit, and that's not just praying, that's walking in step with him, doing what he's showing you to do, living out what he's calling you to live out, just flowing in that. When you flow in the direction of the Holy Spirit, there is a joy that is unmatched in that. But am I there? Because this is not just the I believe in Jesus. This is not just I show up to church and I come in some building once a week. This is I have fallen in love with him type scenario, and I have come to know him and experience him on a constant basis type of relationship. When I am in that, then comes joy. If I connect with him through sharing my heartache, through the Holy Spirit, connect with him by always delighting in him. Psalm 32, verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. And then listen to this, Psalm 16:8-9. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, listen to this, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Why does my whole being rejoice? Because I have once a week put God before me and sung some songs to worship him. Because I said a 5-minute prayer on my way out to work. Because I listened to K-Love when I'm in my car. Why is it that I have found my whole being rejoicing? Because I have forever, always put him before me. And some people think that this prayer thing doesn't work and this God thing doesn't work because God is not your life. God is a part of your life, and when you need him, you try to bring him in. I was having a conversation with one of my kids this week, and this child of mine was having this struggle through, you know, I prayed, and then that didn't play out, and an analogy came to me. If you have rechargeable batteries, and you need something to be run by those batteries, when they die, you don't just wait until you need them to throw them on the battery charger, because they don't charge in 3 seconds. But the way we work, because we get everything instantly, we just want it to come in 3 seconds. You throw that battery on that battery charger for whatever duration of time it takes, 30 minutes, an hour, in order for you to use it. And it's the same with your walk with the Lord. If you just decide, oh, everything's falling apart, God, come help me. He might, and he will, most likely, and he'll throw you a bone. It's not going to be of the same kind of power and same kind of whole being joy if you are not forever, constantly putting God before you. This is why he says we must pray without ceasing kind of demeanor before God. If you want joy, then you need to make him your exceeding treasure and your life and not just part of your life. That, he is the secret ingredient to joy, is that. And so if I learn how to have a well-rounded relationship with Jesus, I'm going to gain and keep my joy. And then the two that should take care of themselves, but I think we still need to mention them. Second is a well-rounded approach to life. You'll remember the story of the rich young ruler in Luke 18, where he felt uneasy and didn't feel right or good. And he came to Jesus to try to resolve that, and they had a conversation that involved discussion of the commandments, and eventually Jesus put his finger on the thing that man would not give up to God, this thing that became more important to him than God was, and that was his money. And Jesus said, give it all away and you'll have God. And it says the man went away sad, because if we don't have a heart that's wholly devoted to God, there's always going to be an opportunity to lose all that joy, because he is the source of our joy. We must be wholly devoted to him. We must walk in holiness. Psalm 16:4 says, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Psalm 31:10 says, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. When you walk in sin, and you live the way you want to, there is a plaguing of your conscience that happens that will not let you go, and you cannot find true joy when you're walking in that. And so I must walk in holiness. The Bible sometimes refers to itself as precepts or testimonies. And in Psalm 19:8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Psalm 119:111 says, your testimonies are my heritage forever, and they are the joy of my heart. We need to be regularly consuming the Word of God to find joy. And if you don't believe that, I have demonstrated that over the past 7 weeks, because this series has been filled with scriptures that show us how to find peace and joy and contentment and wholeness and life and security in our emotions. God gives us that in His Word. If you've studied His Word, it's amazing what's there, the wisdom that's there, the direction that there is there, the hope that's there. That's where we learn of who He is. That's how we learn what we have coming to us is in that Word of God, and you don't know it. You don't know the promises of God if you're not regularly reading them and studying them and consuming them. And again, this is not if you are in a difficult scenario and you play Russian roulette with Scripture and you go, all right, I needed so-and-so begot so-and-so. Maybe. Judas went and hung himself. Not that one. This has to be a constant thing. If you want to know joy, constant, consuming His Word, walking in holiness, then 1 Thessalonians 2:20 says, for you are our glory and joy. And did you know that in that verse, he's not referring to God there? You are our glory and joy. You know who he's referring to? Paul is referring to the Thessalonians that he has been ministering to and working with to lead them to Christ and lead them to growing in Christ. And he has found joy in doing that. That when he is focused on serving others and helping them come to know Jesus and come to grow in their faith, he has found joy in that. And then added to that, 1 John 1:1-4, John says, we proclaim to you the eternal life. We're teaching you about the way of salvation. And it says, so that you too may have fellowship. We are writing these things so that, not your joy, so that our joy may be complete. We are proclaiming the gospel. We are witnessing. We are sharing our faith with others so that we will have joy. Because there is this amazing joy. If you've ever led someone to Christ, if you've ever prayed over someone and they got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've ever sat down with the Word of God and showed them something and you saw that aha moment and you saw after that a life changed, there is a joy that's unmatched in that. And so if we want to have joy, we need to walk in this well-rounded approach to life, living in holiness, consuming the Word of God, ministering to one another. Then it says in Philemon 7, and we'll add still to that, 1 John chapter 1 is referring to the whole dynamic of that fellowship with God and with each other. In that we find joy. Philemon 7 says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother. And this is not, he's not talking about God. He's talking about a person. I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. If you've ever known what it's like to actually be a part of church, not because you have your name listed on some membership list somewhere, not because you give tithes, not because you call some church your home or you've been going to Bethel for 40 years, not because of that, but because you have come to fellowship with the believers and delight in that, and you've gotten to know other believers and shared your life with them. That kind of, when you have that, there is a joy in that. Is there some frustration in that? Yes. But I tell you what, the joy you get when you push through and you resolve those frustrations and you find closeness on the other end of that, that is a joy worth wading through. And there is a joy found if I find myself walking in holiness, consuming the Word of God, ministering, being a part of church, and then relationship as a whole. Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, a wise son makes his father glad, But a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. There is an impact on us emotionally with our relationships. 1 John 4:12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. As we've mentioned a few weeks ago, we need these relationships. You need to have healthy relationships. And there's something wrong. If there's a fracture in a relationship somewhere, you know that to be the thorn that is the source of that emotional struggle. We need to have. That's why he says we're supposed to be peacemakers. And we're supposed to strive to be at one with one another if we take this approach to life. Lastly, number three, we can find or gain and keep our joy by having well-rounded coping skills. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down and talked with people who were stressed and struggling with something that they've been struggling with for years, and it's all because of just looking at one thing the wrong way. All because they didn't know how to address things when there was this intrusion in my life. Because that's really what causes us to lose our joy, is there's some intrusion in my life, something that comes in that I didn't want to be there, or something that leaves that I wanted to keep, and there is some kind of loss. When that happens, if you don't know what to do when it happens, then there's going to be heartache and there's going to be misery, and sometimes you're going to start to, when you hit turbulence, you're going to take a nosedive. And you're going to begin to sink in despair unless you know how to wrestle with that. So there's a couple of things to consider as far as coping skills. We've mentioned this one, Psalm 30, verse 5. Though the sorrow may last through the night, his joy comes in the morning. Understand the fickle nature of our feelings. Because you might feel sad today, but sometimes, and I'm amazed at this, sometimes sadness just takes care of itself if you let it. Sometimes if you wait a little while, it just goes. And I understand there's chronic sadness and there's bigger issues, but sometimes you just don't feel good. And it's not going to be forever. But we have a tendency to think everything's going to be forever. But it's not. And if you understand that, oh, I really feel down today, but I know that bodies just do that. And sometimes it's just because you ate a bunch of garbage yesterday. Have you ever done that before? It felt so great last night. I don't feel good today. I wish that wouldn't happen. Don't you wish you could just zap that food and it just became good-feeling food for 3 days? Not just for one passing moment? Sometimes it's because you've been watching a bunch of garbage that makes you sad. Sometimes you've been watching stuff that just makes you dwell on things that are sad. And you feel sad because you've been watching that. And so if I understand that feelings sometimes just come and go, then I'm going to be able to cope with that when this intense feeling shows up. Second coping skill is from our passage in 2 Corinthians 6. If you don't have it, I'm going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 through 10. Paul's writing to those he was ministering to, and he says, "We have put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry." And then he begins to list what they've encountered. "But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance and affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger." If you ever feel bad about yourself, you should read about what Paul went through. Because he had bad stuff happen to him. He's saying, we had bad stuff happen to us. And then he says, verse 6, "By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left." We have had great things. We have had bad, horrible things, and we have had great things. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, "Through honor and dishonor, we've had good and we've had bad. Through slander and praise, we've had bad and good. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, bad and good, as unknown and yet we are well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed." Then listen to these words in verse 10. "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything." Paul was one of those people that you just couldn't make miserable. Because everything you threw at him, have you ever met people like that? That some bad thing happens and they make it some amazing thing to happen. That was the Apostle Paul. And he was saying, listen, we went through bad stuff and we went through good stuff. And you know what he understood about life? Life has this changing nature to it. Life changes. It just does. And if you are in a scenario now that you don't like, just wait a while. It will change. If you have a boss that you don't like, just wait a while. It will change. If you have a job you don't like, just wait a while. It will eventually change. Most things in life change. In fact, we are surrounded by that all the time. Life is constantly changing. And so if you don't like something about life, just remember, eventually this will pass. I remember a friend of ours used to say this all the time when they were suffering. They would always say that line, this too shall pass. Okay, eventually it's going to go. And so don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just wait because you know what you have coming for you. And if you understand that, then when the blows come, then you can cope with life because you have adequate coping skills by understanding the fickle nature of our feelings, by understanding understanding the changing nature of life. Then, Romans 8:28, we know this one. For God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And then Psalm 118, verse 24, we even sing this line, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is not a declaration of will. This is not a, God made this day, so I will rejoice in it. That's not what this means. This is a recognition of God's power and potential. I am alive today, and I am walking in this day, November 4th, on a Sunday, 2018. God made this day, and God doesn't make anything that's bad. God only makes good things. And if God made this day, there are a lot of good things ahead for me. And even if there is not, even if there are things that are hard and difficult that are ahead of me in this day, He makes all things work together, even those bad things, for the good of those who love Him. And if we understand the potential of God, that no matter what you face, I mean, just think about that. When you face an encounter or an obstacle or a difficulty, just step back and think, wonder what God might do about that. And if you just envision God's faithfulness and God's power, there's an ability to cope and I've told you that story, and if you missed it, I could tell you privately because I've mentioned it like 800 times already. But that story about that line, this is good, and the man who lost his thumbs, I've been reflecting on that every time I come across something sad or difficult or awful, and I just think, this is good. Not that I'm rejoicing about that this direct thing happened, but that if this happened, then, boy, something good is right around the corner. And imagine living with a glass half full. Wouldn't you like that? Anybody care to confess you're a glass half empty kind of person? Nobody dares to do so. Okay. I won't call you out like Peter did to Ananias and Sapphira. But it is such a delight when you can just look at life with limitless possibilities. And if we can do that, we have this ability to cope because when the blows come, it doesn't bother us. It's almost like it's almost like the poor two little children last winter who went flying down the snowy hill on a sled to meet up with an obstacle that I thought they were going to fly right over top of, and that was my daughter Maria, who's just wandering around at the bottom of the hill, not paying attention to anything, and they go flying into her, and they go boom, and flip over, and she acts like nothing happened. And that is the person who's filled with the Holy Spirit when trauma comes. I am still filled with joy to my whole being because I have the Lord and His promises ever before me. You can cope with that, can't you? Then, James 1, 2 through 4, this is an encouraging verse and yet it's a perplexing one when James says to us, count it all joy, my brothers. Don't you usually expect something good to follow after that? Hey, listen, guys, get happy here because I'm about to tell you something. Ready? When you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Rejoice when you face trials. Why? Because I have an opportunity to grow here. If this is bad, this means I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be better because of this. If you look at life that way, you don't get those frowny brownies on your face. They taste so good, remember? But tomorrow they don't, okay? I can rejoice if I know that I'm going to be better because of that thing. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and say, all right, Holy Spirit, here we go. Let's tackle this thing, and I'm going to do this with joy because I know what's coming after it. Can you do that? Can you stare at cancer and rejoice? Can you stare at death? Can you stare at your loved one dying before you? Can you stare at your house on fire and rejoice? Can you look at a hurricane, tornado, or flood? And James says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Because there is something amazing that's about to happen. And even if it takes your life, wouldn't you sometimes rather that? Not just to escape, but because of what's ahead of us, waiting for us? Nothing can take our joy from us, because it's permanent, as Peter says, fixed in the heavens. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Lastly, we'll conclude with, we need to understand what makes us sad. I feel sad. Why do I feel sad? 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 6, Paul says, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have, listen to this, pierced themselves with many pains. Hebrews says, Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of the main culprits of being sad is because you have a desire that's not fulfilled. There is something you want, and it doesn't have to be a possession. It could be a status, it could be a condition, it could be the way you want things to be. And it's not that way, so I am not happy. Or it's something that you have that you want to get rid of. Ever had someone in your house that you wanted to leave? Nobody's allowed to mention any names. And I'm only mentioning that because I've heard other people say things like that. I just totally threw off my train of thought. okay. you are sad because something's in your life you want to get rid of. Most of the time when you're sad is because there's something that's not fulfilled as far as a desire or a craving of yours. And you are all showing that Jesus Christ is not satisfying to you. Because if Jesus Christ was my all-sufficient, all-satisfying joy, then I wouldn't care if I didn't have that. I wouldn't care if it wasn't like that, because I have what gives me joy if I was satisfied in him. And then another thing that makes us sad is our thinking patterns. We know that verse in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I've talked with people who have believed the lie that they are the worst person on the face of the planet. And I'm amazed at how many good people feel that way of themselves. And some of you feel miserable, because start saying out loud what you feel about yourself and you'll find out why you feel miserable. Because you've been telling you you're no good, you can't accomplish anything, you're weak, you're lousy, God isn't pleased with you, and you've just been telling yourself all sorts of things. Sometimes those things are true when we mess things up before God, but we are not stuck in that if we are walking in Jesus Christ. And you need to stop, and you need to take every thought captive and make it submit to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're choosing to make ourselves be miserable. And if I can start to think clearly, I can find deliverance. And then last thing, what makes you sad is your environment. You know this line, Proverbs 17, verse 22, a joyful heart is good medicine? So I was reflecting on that, and I think sometimes it's almost like one of those things. You know that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? And now it's going to be stuck in your head all week. It's one thing to say, have you ever had somebody just tell you, well, just don't be sad? Have you ever had that? Okay, thanks for the advice, bud. And this almost feels like that. This almost comes off like that. A joyful heart is good medicine. So be happy and you'll be happy. But if you were to read the verse before, it's something that illuminates here for us. Listen to what he says in verse 21. He who sires, or that is, draws from a fool or interacts with a fool, gets himself sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy. It's in social interaction. When I'm interacting, engaging with certain people, I lose my joy. And it is after that that the writer of Proverbs says this, a joyful heart is good medicine. That is, if I'm around the person who has the joyful heart. Have you ever just been around those people that are just uplifting? You just feel good when you're with them. Heather goes out of town for weekend trips for about 3 times a year, two of them on our women's retreats and then one for a pastor's wife's retreat. And I get the children all to myself. And I love my children dearly, and I have great times with them. But when it comes to that end of the weekend, everybody's ready for the joy to come back into the house. Because Heather is that kind of person. And what you see is what you get with her. She might get irritated with the kids at times, but her bubbly optimism, zest for life, and her love of people is what you see in here, is what you see at home. And there's an uplifting, there is a good medicine quality to that in our household that when it's not there, you know it's not there. And some of you are sad because you're hanging around a bunch of sad, grumpy complainers. Not that we don't need to minister to them and reach out to them, but sometimes you need some medicine. And so you need to be around people that are uplifting and encouraging and edifying you, and you're going to find that that joy starts to, or that depression and sadness starts to fall off that before I've been taking the happy pill for, but now I've found Jesus is the source of my joy, and I've learned how to think straight, and I've learned how to cope because I have my friends with me. We can't do this alone. There is joy ready to have and to keep if we become a well-rounded person. You can't just do a little thing. This is not a microwavable meal. This is a crockpot meal. This is a Hamilton's ribs meal that you cook for days type meal. This is that kind of meal. If you want the joy of my whole being, then you must walk in all of this and be well-rounded. Do you want that? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Right here, right now, Jesus is in our midst. We know that theologically. We know that in our minds. But right now, Jesus is here, and he is the one who says, I want to put my joy in you. And right now, the Holy Spirit is ready and available to transform you from a sourpuss to a joyful heart. And you desperately want it, and you desperately need it, so that you can honor him by fulfilling, rejoice in the Lord always. And some of you here, you have been sad for a couple of days. Some of you, it's been a couple of months, years. Some of you, you can't remember the last time you had happiness in your life. And you don't know fully an encounter with Jesus Christ unless you've found joy, because he is the source of joy. And you have scars that you need to be healed of. The Holy Spirit is here and will remove those scars. You need to make commitments to Him. You need, there's something that has to be different about your relationship with Jesus Christ. The way you're living has to change. The way you're thinking has to change. Whatever it is that you need to deal with at these altars, the Holy Spirit is ready to infuse you with the true happy pill. Rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Find joy in the Holy Spirit today. Will you come and let Him transform you today as the worship team leads us? Hallelujah. So you go home and you study the scriptures and you pray and you worship. And then tomorrow morning you wake up and you seek the Lord. And then when the enemy comes and tells you that was all nonsense, that joy is not available for you. You rebuke him, you put on some praise music, and you start delighting in Jesus Christ and have him fully, always before you. And if I would have thought about it, I would have had him do this ahead of time. There's an old song that sometimes old songs just get you jumping around a little bit. It was kind of a goofy song, but I like the words to it. The Happy Song. Have you ever heard that song? The lyrics are, I could walk 1,000 miles because of your great love. I could dance, I don't remember what I have the words back. What's that? I could sing on any songs because there's something about dancing in there too. Heather's like, sure, whatever. but I'm so happy is the message of that song. And Google that and find that and play it and listen to it. If you're feeling sad, and rejoice in the Lord, because if you know Him and you have Him, there is joy unceasing and full of glory. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad to know Him?
Yes.
This is not a religion. It's not an organization. Though we are an organization, Bethel is, but the part that gives us joy is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. Aren't you glad? Is He your treasure? Is He your treasure? So we need to make sure that if we personally or as a church face challenges, if we have great things or if we lack as individuals or as a church, let us remember that we have joy in the Lord, that no matter what we lose, no matter what turbulence we face, there is great things ahead of us because nobody ever was won to the Lord by a sourpuss. Nobody wants what you have if what you have to offer them is despair and hopelessness. But someone who has a joyful heart, they want what you have. Don't misrepresent Jesus Christ. And we have a calling to change this world, and we're not going to be able to change this world if we don't have power. The Holy Spirit came upon them with power so that they could be His witnesses. And I'm telling you, if we make God our treasure, we're going to change the whole world. But there's coffee in the back if you want to hang out and spend some time with each other. Again, relationships and interaction within the church, that's where you're going to find joy. So feel free to partake of that. Those of you who are new with us, make sure to see me in the Welcome Center in just a few moments. Again, I have that gift for you and have some refreshments for you there as well. But aren't you glad to be happy in Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.